And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to be examining a very interesting subject, almost two subjects in one. So you got a double deal today, I guess you might say. I don't want to be called a double dealer, but we are going to be talking about two subjects today. And we're going to look at some unheralded secrets. Unheralded because almost no one knows about these things. And those very few who do are frightened to death to discuss them. But the most evil people in this world understand the things I'm going to tell you. But also we're going to look at Bible prophecy a little bit in relation to some of these things. It's really going to be a fun program because I love to expose evil. Love to expose evil doing and unlock the mysteries that are given to you and I to know as Christians. You say, well, I didn't know that as a Christian I was given to know the mysteries. Oh, yes, dear friends. You know, the Bible, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus Christ being the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. And the world doesn't know him, doesn't understand him. And even when a worldly person, a natural-born person, unsaved, reads the Bible, he cannot really understand it. It's not given to the world to know these things. Jesus told his disciples it was given to them to know the mysteries of God. But to those outside the kingdom, well, these are things that they are unlearned about. They can have PhDs, it doesn't matter. And by the way, when I say a born-again Christian can understand these things, I want to tell you right now that I suspect that 98% of those who say they are born-again Christians are not born-again Christians at all, and I know because they cannot understand these things. I've always gotten some amusement and some sadness in meeting pastors and bishops and all of the hoity-toity of the Christian world. I used to be invited on so many radio and television shows, especially the television programs where I would travel to Seattle and Vancouver, Toronto, Canada, up to New York City, Los Angeles, and be on these programs. And I would meet Christians, and basically, as far as the Word of God and the knowledge, they were just mentally retarded. And I knew they were not Christians at all. They were just pretenders. You say, Tex, that's real harsh of you to say that. How can you judge? Well, the Bible says to judge them by their fruits. And because they had no knowledge, that certainly is a fruit. They're supposed to be teachers of the flock, but they're dumber than the most primitive Christian. And that's true of almost all the Christian leaders. You know, right now we have this emerging church movement moving into and taking over churches left and right. The Rick Warren message, you know, is part of that emerging church movement. Really New Age churches, that's what they are. And they have abandoned the Word of God, and they're basically teaching that it doesn't matter what religion you have, as long as you're of the family of faith. You can be a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Jew or a Muslim. Oh, shut up. You're not a Christian. Jesus says, I know my flock and they know me. He says, you can't go in any other gate other than mine. You can't, listen. I love the wonderful parables where Jesus talks about the great feast, the great banquet feast of those who are born again through Jesus. But the master comes upon one man who is not dressed in his garments. He thought he probably had on the most lovely raiment, the most lovely clothing. I mean, maybe it was, you know, Bill Blass or one of these, you know, fabulous tailor-made things by some Italian or French designer. I don't know. No, that's not what they were talking about at all. The garment you have to have on is the garment of salvation. Jesus Christ has to know you. And that's the garment. He dresses you up. You are naked and ignorant and in filthy rags, and he cleans you up, washes you off, and gives you white robes. This is all spiritually understood. But imagine the master of the house coming upon a man who is not dressed properly. He says, "Sir, what are you doing here? We know you don't deserve to be here. You didn't get an invitation." Now, I suspect the man probably said to him, "Wait just a minute. I had a church. I was preacher and teacher of a 15,000 member church. I was invited to the White House coffees. Why, President Obama consulted me for spiritual advice, and I was a member of the NAACP and the Council on Foreign Relations, and look at all the things I did promoting interfaith unity with the Catholics and the Protestants and the Jews. I was one of the most wonderful teachers on earth." But the master says, "No, you're not dressed. You're not fit for this banquet. You're not invited." And he calls for the servants, you know, like the security guards, or the bouncers. He calls for them, and they take the man, and they cast him out. Well, that's what they're going to be doing up in heaven. No, you're not going to be invited to the feast unless you have the spiritual clothing placed there by Jesus. You can't buy it at Saks Fifth Avenue or Nordstrom's or Macy's or some boutique, no matter how much money you have. Money means nothing to God. Well, I want to talk to you today about Freemasonry and about Judaism. I took a little tangent there. You'll allow me to do that sometime. What I was trying to say was this: it seems that so many people are ignorant of these things. And I found them. But this emerging church thing has got so far, and they totally went away from the faith, and they're bringing the Christian church world into what they call mystical or contemplative Christianity. They don't pray and ask Jesus for anything. They meditate, or they decree it or command it through positive thinking or whatever. And they can talk to any God or a force God. It doesn't have to be Jesus. This is the kind of junk that's being brought into churches. Well, Pastor Chuck Smith Senior and his son, Chuck Smith Jr., as I understand it, opposed these things. And they came out against the emerging church and the Rick Warren purpose-driven church. They came out opposed to it. And now there's a big to-do, a big division, a separation going on within the Calvary chapels. You know, they're big in California on the West Coast and around the United States. They have 100 to 150 churches that call themselves Calvary Chapel. They were founded during the big Jesus hippie era, so their foundations weren't too good, these Calvary Chapels, by Chuck Smith Sr. Now, Chuck Smith is a big one on Israel and the Zionist gospel. He's an Israelite. In other words, he's a Judaizer. But that's not his worst thing. But in any case, he at least stood up all of a sudden and says, "No, I am opposed to this emerging church." Well, many of the pastors in the Calvary Chapel movement, they love the emerging church stuff, the junk. So now they're opposed to Chuck Smith Sr. And they happen to bring up the fact that Pastor Chuck Smith's most recent book that he wrote, friends, the Christian celebrities, the big preachers, the Falwells, the Pat Robertsons, the Billy Grahams, the Chuck Smiths, they don't write diddly squat. They have ghost writers. They're fakes. Oh, yes. They use other people's money and other people's talents and claim it's their own. I've exposed the scandal of Christian ghostwriting, but somebody pointed out, well, Pastor Smith, you're opposed to the emerging church, but look, your book, in your most recent book, you quote all these emerging church leaders and you praise them. And you even say, yes, meditation is good. The kind of meditation, you know, that the New Age Hindus and so forth do. So why are you now opposed to the emerging church when just a couple years ago you wrote a book that praised all of the leaders of the emerging church? Well, Chuck Smith came out and said, oh, I did? Turns out Chuck Smith said, I didn't write those things. Well, my publisher put them in there, but I didn't write them. I don't endorse my book. Friends, let me tell you something about Tex Mars. I've written approximately 42 books now. I endorse every one of them. I wrote every word of them, except for the quotes. And even then, I show you the quote. Yes, I wrote every book. We have no ghostwriters at Power of Prophecy. Call Jerry Barrett over here working on our broadcasting equipment. Or Sandra Myers, who's been with us 15 years. Jerry's been with us 10. Ask Sandra Myers who writes Tex Mars' book. I wish sometimes I had a ghost writer, but I don't. I'm the ghost, friends. I'm the writer and the ghost. Well, Chuck Smith didn't even know those things were in his book. This is the way I've had publishers in the past contact me and say, hey, we've got an idea for a book. And I said, I don't have time to write that book. Seems like it might be a nice book, but no, I don't have time to write it. God's given me another agenda. Well, we can get it written for you, Mr. Mars. And then after the manuscript is written, we'll send it to you to make sure it's okay with you. And then your name will go on the cover as the writer, and we'll give you the royalties for the book. How disgusting is that? How would you like to go? I wouldn't, my whole life, walking somewhere and someone comes up to me and says, Tex Mars, oh, I know you. I read your book, la, la, la. It's a wonderful book. Or, you know, thank you for writing this book. I'd be so embarrassed. But these people have no shame. John MacArthur talks about the emerging church and all these pastors. He wrote a new book, and I do think that John MacArthur, a pastor from out in California, I think he's one of the few that does write his own books, from what I understand. So let me give some credit to John MacArthur. I hope I don't find out any different. But Pastor John MacArthur's got a new book out entitled Ashamed of the Gospel. Ashamed of the Gospel. The emerging church people, that's why they're for unity with the other faiths. They're ashamed of the gospel. But they don't mind profiting from the gospel. Now, Chuck Smith had a ghost-written book, evidently. He asked the publisher to take it out of print. He says, I don't want that book with my name on it. So it'd been out a year or two, and he had made all the money on it, so now they took it off the shelves, the publisher. Friends, if you're a publisher, don't talk to Tex Mars about writing a book for me. I write my own books. In fact, now I publish my own books because I'm going to say whatever God wants me to say. And I don't care if the book sells 10 copies or 10 million. I'm going to write the books God tells me to write. That's the way we operate here at Power Prophecy. That's why we need your help, my dear friends, because we're not like other people. We don't get into a meeting here. Sometimes I talk books with my people here and say, you know, I think, you know, God is leading me to do this book or that book. What do you think? And I get counsel from other Christians here on staff. But ultimately, I decide what books I'm going to do, what videos I'm going to do, what articles I'm going to write. No one tells me to write anything. I never go on a talk show with anybody where a host says, oh, could you not talk about this or that? Never. Usually when they do that, that's exactly what I talk about when I'm on their show. So they don't want me. They've already learned. Don't invite that Tex Mars. He'll ambush you by talking about subjects you don't want to talk about that are too controversial. Just don't invite him. So now I don't have a lot of people, you know, invite me that used to invite me. That's good though. Because right now, so many people invite me, I can't be on all the talk shows anyway. I've turned a bunch down. So I sort of like it. I can be picky. They said, would you not talk about the Jews? We don't want to offend anybody. I said, well, Jack, if you want me on your show, I'm going to talk about the Jews. In fact, that's the very topic God just put in my heart. They said, oh, they get all frightened. But I'm over here having fun. I have fun. I enjoy my job. I love to get up in the morning. When I go to sleep at night, I'm thinking about this ministry. I'm thinking. When I get up in the morning, I think about the mail that I got from people asking for prayer. At breakfast, Wanda and I pray and ask God to bless every person who has requested prayer or help from this ministry. I ask God to meet their needs. Every morning at breakfast, without fail, we ask for God's blessing on this ministry and for every person who's a part of this ministry. And I'm talking about you, dear friends. Now, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but this, all these things with Christian ghostwriting and all this stuff. Let's go to another subject here. Let's go to the Masons and the Jews and Judaism. Some little unheralded secrets you may not know about, especially of Freemasonry. You know, I've talked a lot about Freemasonry. We have a video about the Freemasonry. You can call up our ministry and they'll tell you about it. I think it's about an hour in length, and it's a pretty informative video. But I'm going to tell you some things today that you probably would not know about that. And I want to tell you there is a connection between Judaism and Freemasonry. You know, Jesus said to the Jews that their religion, Judaism or Phariseeism, is based on the traditions of men, not the commandments of God. See, a lot of Christians today still believe that Judaism is Old Testament religion. They're so stupid they don't understand that Jesus himself told the Jews, your religion is not of God, it's man-made traditions. In fact, he says, you know what? You Jews, you go go around the world, you encompass the world to make one proselyte or one disciple. And you work to make him twice the devil you are. Can you believe that they work the whole world to make one disciple, and then they work to make him twice the devil they are? That's Judaism. Now, I'm hearing all kind of reports now about all these Baptist and Presbyterian and Pentecostal pastors that are inviting rabbis, Jewish rabbis, into the pulpit. Oh, they're so learned. They're so intelligent. Oh, they have so much spiritual knowledge. Shut up! Jesus said, you are your father, the devil, he told the Jews. Man-made traditions. They make men into devils. Twice the devils they are. That's what the rabbis do. The Bible says if you don't have the Father, you don't have the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Pretty simple, isn't it? Is there any clash of knowledge there? Jesus said, if you don't believe I am He, God, in other words, you will die in your sins. Is there any doubt as to His meaning? If you don't believe in Him, that's it. Judaism is a false satanic religion. In fact, I think it's the most wicked religion on earth. Islam is a lot better. Take two devil religions. Okay, over here on my left hand, Judaism, on my right hand, Islam. I'm going to try to balance them. That's a pretty tough deal. But if I had to balance them, I'd take Islam. course, I'm still going to go to hell. No matter which way you go, you're in the devil's territory. But the Muslims are much more friendly and amenable to Christianity than, regardless of the lies you've been told, Judaism hates Jesus and Christianity 1,000 times more than the most anti-Christian Muslim imam. That is absolutely true. Well, let's talk about some of the little secrets. And by the way, a lot of these things are found in Mackey's Revised Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. I have volume 2 here. Have a whole set here in my office. Have a number of, encyclopedias of Freemasonry that I do research on, and they pretty well agree with each other. Just as the Encyclopedia Britannica or the Encyclopedia Americana would agree. Here on page 684, it talks about the Mother Council of the World. Did you know that the United States and Washington, D.C. is the headquarters for international Freemasonry? It says here, the Supreme Council of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite was organized in 1801 at Charleston, South Carolina. It's called the Mother Council of the World because from it have issued directly or indirectly all the other Supreme Councils of the Rite, which are now in existence or have existed since its organization. The Mother Council of the World. Now get that word mother. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. The Mother Council. Not the Father Council, but the Mother Council. Here's something that you might find interesting. On page 714, it talks about the Noahides. The Noahides. These, it says, are the descendants of Noah. And the Noahide is a term applied to Freemasons on the theory that Noah was the father and founder of the Masonic system of theology. Hence, the Freemasons claim to be his descendants. Because in times past, they preserved the pure principles of his religion. And it says here in that Dr. Anderson, in writing the first book of Constitutions of Masonry, stated, quote, a Mason is obliged by his tenure to observe the moral law as a true Noahide. Now, the Chabad, the Hasidim, are the most fanatical Jewish sects, teach the law of the Noahides. They say that a Gentile is nothing more than cattle or, you know, almost like insects. They're so inferior to the godlike Jews. But, say the Jews, the rabbis of these sects, a Gentile, by basically being subservient and serving the Jews, in other words, getting on your knees, mopping floors for them, giving them all of your wealth, being their little boy servants, their gophers, you can become a righteous Gentile. Now, you'll never be God's chosen. You'll never be, a holy Jew. But you can be a righteous Gentile. You must, however, obey, these Jewish rabbis say, the Noahide laws. Now, what are the Noahide laws? Well, one of them is that you must not worship idols. That includes false gods who are considered idols. Well, right away, Tex Mars, and maybe you, dear friend, have just violated the chief of all the Noahide laws that says you cannot worship idols. Now, remember, in the Ten Commandments, we're also told not to worship idols, that is, graven images. But the Noahide laws of the Jews, when defined by the rabbis, exclaim that Jesus Christ is himself an idol. And thus your worship of Jesus Christ means you have run afoul of the Noahide laws. Now remember, these laws are both Masonic and of the Jewish faith. And you cannot be a righteous Gentile. You are a wicked Gentile if you believe and worship Jesus Christ. Now, what is the punishment under the Noahide laws for those who do worship idols? In other words, those who are Christians who continue to worship Jesus. Well, the penalty is beheading. Cut off their heads, off with their heads. Now, it's interesting that in the French Revolution, the Masonic Jews of the Illuminati and the Order of the Illuminati and the Masonic sects who executed, in other words, carried out the guillotine and the cutting off of heads, perhaps had this in mind, because it was the Christians in the main, not the nobility, but the Christians who were given penalties of death. Meanwhile, the French revolutionaries, mostly Jews, on a certain day of their new calendar, that's right, they thought to change laws and times. As the book of Daniel says, the Antichrist will think to change in the last days. Well, they started it out with a dress rehearsal back in the days of the French Revolution, whereupon on a certain holy day of these pagans, these Illuminati Jews who ran the revolution, they took a woman, a prostitute, stripped her of her clothes, put her on a white horse, took her up to a hill or a mount overlooking the city of Paris, and had her ride into the city, the naked woman, to the applause and the cheers of the people of Paris. She symbolized the great goddess of licentiousness, in other words, of sex, adultery, immorality. She was the goddess. She brought within her corporate body, now understand this, she brought within her corporate body all those who knew her. In other words, were initiated into the higher mysteries. When the Bible in the book of Genesis talks about the word know, or to know someone, or it says that Adam knew Eve, it means they had sex. The Bible's being polite. But more than that, there is a meaning. Because in the sexual act, there is a spiritual transaction that takes place, dear friends. In the Hindu religion, where they worship the mother goddess, they practice yogic sex or yoga positions. Yoga means to be yoked with the goddess. Now, I know you're saying right now, what do the Jews have to do with the goddess? They worship the Father God. Well, that's not so. Been recently researching this very topic. And they worship goddesses in the secret orders and levels of Judaism that you don't know anything about, dear friend. They worship the great goddess. For example, there are a number of books on the market with titles like The Book of Lilith and Lilith's Fire. Here's a book title for you, The Jewish Goddess, Past and Present, by J. Michelson. The Jewish Goddess. More on the Jewish Goddess and the Supreme Mother Council and all kinds of things, Judaic and Masonic, when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Have you ever been face to face with the devil? I have. And you know, once you're aware of the fact that you're face to face with the devil on a frequent basis, well, then you're awakened and you understand it. And then you begin to ask more and more questions. Across America and the world, you will find statues, idols of the devil. Some are shaped as goat gods. others as horned men, others as some creature with vegetation coming out of his head, ears, mouth, called the Green Man. Those are especially very popular over in Great Britain, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. But I've visited cities like New York and Chicago, but also Los Angeles, Houston, Cleveland, and others. And everywhere I go, I look for architecture, and I see these heads and sometimes entire bodies of devils carved in wood, metal, but mostly stone. What are they doing there? I've gone to county courthouses in Texas, in Colorado, in Louisiana, and I see devil images, statues. Sometimes there are dragons, and as I said, sometimes goat gods. Sometimes heads of serpent or serpent-like creatures staring at people from parapets and from ledges, like gargoyles at the National Cathedral when Wanda and I visited that in Washington, D.C. I looked around the Washington, D.C., the National Cathedral, where they have all the interfaith worship services, like after 9/11 and the president, and they had, you know, the head of the Catholic Church and Billy Graham and all of them went in there and had an interfaith service. And I knew as they showed that over international television, having that service to commemorate the victims of 9/11, that they were inside a great Gothic cathedral that had devils all around carved in stone. And at the entrance was a great image in stone of the great Mother Goddess. Ah, yes, the Mother Goddess, the goddess, Satan's bride, actually Satan's mistress, his servants. You see, Jesus has his bride, which is the people of Jesus. Those who belong to him, we are married to Jesus spiritually. We are his bride, the bride of Christ. There will be a holy wedding banquet in heaven someday for us. But the devil is a great counterfeiter, and he says, I want a bride too. So there's the Mother Goddess, bride of Christ, bride of Satan. They say in many witchcraft and satanic sects and cults, they have a ceremony in which they choose a woman to become the bride of Satan, and they have a sexual ritual to consummate the initiation. I realize as Billy Graham and all the others prayed inside and gave their little homages, and the two presidents, Bush and President Clinton and Miss Hillary Rodham Clinton, were all inside, and of course there were Jewish rabbis and Episcopal priests and Catholic archbishops. Oh yeah, all the hoity-toity of the world, religious and political systems were in there. And I thought, isn't it fitting that Satan's religions, leaders and political leaders are all in this one building right now, being seen on international TV, a building where devils live and their idols are carved in stone? Well, I have a video for you, dear friends, entitled Face to Face with the Devil. It'll show you about thousands and thousands of devils that are found all over America. And some people walk down the street performing their business, walking into shops, into offices, into department stores, into bookstores. And they never look up. If they did, over the windows and over the doors, they would see heads carved of the devil, complete with horns. Oh, the devil's always watching. The devil's always leering, sneering at you and me. At least his idols are. And they're carved in stone. What is the meaning of these things? Well, I explain that in my video. You'll understand it more when you get this video. It will just blast your mind out, dear friends. And I always advise people, order this video, but before you watch it, pray up. Pray up. ask Jesus to protect you and so that no harm can come upon you. These are evil images. The title of the video, we have it only in DVD format, is Face to Face with the Devil, Close Encounters with Unexpected Evil. It's there when you don't expect it, and you have a close encounter with it. Went over a friend's house not too long ago, and they had this beautiful china cabinet in their dining room. It was just gorgeous, carved wood. And we sat down to dinner, and I looked at it, and I asked myself, should I tell the hostess, this lovely Christian lady, that this fabulous piece of furniture, this antique, has devil heads all over it, carved in it? I finally said that I must, and I told her, I says, do you realize all the devil's heads carved into your piece of furniture? She said, no. I said, well, look at it. And she began to look, and I guess it was the first time God had revealed it to her. Devils everywhere. Face to face with the devil. Didn't make for a very pleasant meal. Well, any case, order this video today by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Again, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. The price is $25. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $30. Ask for the DVD, the video, documentary, Face to Face with the Devil. It's the only video ever done like it. And I believe you'll be blessed by it, and let me explain how. It exposes the evil. It shines the light of truth on evil. And that's what we must do as Christians. Awaken, rescue as many as we can in these last days. You can order it by sending $30. That's postpaid. Ask for the video, DVD, Face to Face with the Devil. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, you can also go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. And if for some reason that's not available, I don't know why it wouldn't be, go to conspiracyworld.com. That's our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order it. There's a search engine there, and just type in the word Face to Face with the Devil. In fact, I don't think you have to do that, because right on the home page, you'll see a little square, a little ad, a picture of the video, the DVD, Face to Face with the Devil. And by the way, somebody phoned us last week, and they said, boy, the image, the picture on the cover of your video, you know, wow, that's evil. It's a picture of a devil. Well, that's the name of the video, Face to Face with the Devil. They said, where did you get that horrible picture of that devil? I said, I found it at a church. They said, you found it at a church? I said, yeah, it's a statue of a devil. They said, there's horns in that. That's not possible. I know in Catholic churches they have statues of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but I've never seen a devil. Oh, I said, well, you need to get the video then. It'll show you pictures of the church. There's also dragons, skull and crossbones. And there's the words carved in stone above the door as you enter in at this church. And by the way, it is a Catholic church up in the Pyrenees Mountains in France, built by the Catholic Church, still operated as a Catholic church, still has Catholic masses, and a Catholic so-called father, although I don't call him father. The Bible says, call no man father except your Father in heaven. But in any case, they have a so-called father there. How'd you like to be a member of that church? You go in the front door, and right there in the sanctuary, or I call it the vestibule area, there is a statue of a devil and a dragon. And when you walk in the door, the words in French over the door say, this place is terrible. Now that really makes you feel real warm and fuzzy and ready for some good preaching and a this place is terrible. You say, Tex, you made that up. There's no church on earth like that. Really? Mm-hmm. Get the video. Face to face with the devil. The devil is more active, more powerful, and more omnipresent than you can even imagine. In stone, idolatry. Exactly what God hates. But it's there, all around us. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. $30, the one and only video of its kind, face to face with the devil. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about some unheralded secrets of Freemasonry and Judaism and how they connect. Did you know that Albert Pike, who wrote the classic textbook, considered the classic textbook of all time by Freemasons, until recently, all third-degree Masons, Master Masons, when they were raised to the third degree, they were given a gift by their lodge of Albert Pike, 33rd degree, former Sovereign Grand Commander, of his book, Morals and Dogma. Morals and Dogma. Huge book. And there's so much about that I could tell you about that book, but one of the things that Albert Pike says in that book is that all of the teachings and practices and rituals of Freemasonry are based on the Jewish Kabbalah, the system of demonic sorcery practiced by the Jewish rabbis in private. You say, I didn't know that Jewish rabbis practiced secret rituals. Oh, friends, go to the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 8. It will tell you about a secret ritual conducted in the temple of the living God. A temple of the Jews that was supposed to have been devoted to Jesus Christ, I should say. It was Jesus, but he was God. But God told Ezekiel, you know, you go into the temple and everything looks just great. It looks so wonderful and holy. But God told Ezekiel, well, I'm going to show you something that you're not aware of. I want you to dig in the wall. Dig in the wall. And he did. And he dug a hole. And God said, look and see what, and tell me what you see. I'm not going to talk any more about that. I think you can read that for yourself. But Ezekiel in Ezekiel 8 saw what some might describe as a secret Masonic ritual meeting. Oh, they were worshiping all right. The elders, the ancient Israel elders of Zion were in there. You know, the same kind of people that would write the protocols of the learned elders of Zion if they were alive today or in the 20th century. And there they were worshiping, but they weren't worshiping Jehovah God. Oh, no. Dig in the wall. That's what we do here at Power of Prophecy. We dig in the wall. God says, dig in the wall. Now look in. What do you see? By the way, there's another little mystery, a wonderful mystery in the Bible. A lot of people say, where does God live? Did you know the Bible says he lives in the places of the north? Up in the stars in the sky and toward the north. That's a mystery, isn't it? Wow. Toward the north. That's where God is. Ah. Now, page 717 of Mackey's Revised Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. Of course, the original Mackey's Encyclopedia was written by the Sovereign Grand Commander Mackey, Albert G. Mackey, 33rd degree. This revised edition was enlarged by Robert L. Clegg, 33rd degree, and it was published by the Masonic History Company of Chicago, Toronto, New York, and London. An official source. And on page 717, it has the word North. And it tells you the meaning of it as in terms of Freemasonry. Remember, the north is where God is located, up in the heavens. That is a mystery. But let's see what the Masons say about the north. It says, the north is Masonically called a place of darkness. where God is, the Masons call a place of darkness. Now do you understand it? In the Masonic and the New Age secret societies of the Illuminati, they define people as one of two groups, falling into one of two groups. You're either a son of light or a son of darkness. Now, everybody would say, well, I want to be a son of light. Well, those are the people who belong to Jesus. Those are the Christians. In the Christian faith, we're the sons of light. But to the Masons, we're the sons of darkness. Our God is a dark and evil God. That's what the Masons say. And so the Old Testament says that God resides in the places of the north, up in the heavens, in the starry skies, somewhere there. Sort of interesting. But the north is Masonically called a place of darkness. I'm going to go on and read this to you because you'll get the gist of this. It says, the sun in his progress. They worship the sun god, of course. Lucifer, the solar logos. The sun in his progress through the elliptic never reaches further than 23 degrees, 28, so forth, north of the equator. Okay, let's go on. Let me read on. The use of the north as a symbol of darkness is found with its present interpretation being a portion of the old sun worship of which we find so many relics in Gnosticism and Hermetic philosophy and in Freemasonry. Do you get that? They believe that the north is a place of darkness because that's what was practiced in the old sun god worship, which has so many relics today in Freemasonry. Friends, they're just telling you. Evidently, Christian pastors who are Freemasons, who welcome Freemasons in their churches, never read the Masonic encyclopedias. If they did, it would disgust them. It goes on to say that the East was the place of the sun's daily birth and hence highly revered. But the North was the place of his, that is the sun god's, annual death, to which he approached only to lose his vivific heat. And to clothe the earth in darkness of long nights and dreariness of winter. So when the sun went toward the north, then winter came upon the earth. A time of darkness, of loathing. It says, however, the point of the compass or place of Masonic darkness. Well, let me go and read here. That gets a little bit too heavy for you. Several pages on it. I don't want to get into that exactly. There's just too much there. So we'll just end with that. Basically, the relics of sun god worship are found in Freemasonry, and they believe that their great sun god brings darkness when he heads toward the north. By the way, on page 723 of this Masonic textbook, they discuss the great fish god, Yannis. That's spelled, by the way, O-A-N-N-E-S, Yannis, or John. In the English, it would be John. And they say that Oannes, the fish god, was the earliest instructor of man in letters, science, and arts, especially in architecture, geometry, botany, and agriculture. And in all other useful knowledge was the fish god Oannes, according to the ancient mythology. They go on to talk about that the Masons hold their grand festival on the day of St. John, which signifies reverence of the fish god Oannes, the first Hermes and the first founder of the mysteries. Founder of the mysteries of Satan, the mystery of iniquity is what that means, dear friends. And this fish god is the one they revere and pay homage to. And they worship him by honoring the great Oannes or Yannis or John by calling him Saint John. Now, Christians think that's John, they must be honoring John the Baptist. or John the Apostle. No. They're worshiping the fish god. And they do it during the summer solstice, when the sun is at its peak in the day sky. Oh, yes. That's when they worship their Saint John, the great fish god. Now, friends, this is a mystery that can easily be unraveled by studying the book of Revelation, Revelation 13. Because John said, the real John, the apostle, given a vision by Christ himself, said, and I saw and behold a great beast rising up out of the sea. The beast rising up out of the sea, the Masons cryptically call Saint John, and they worship him when the sun is at its zenith and the heat is the most profound, because they worship the great sun god, who is the same god as the beast who rises up out of the sea, who is their Saint John. And by the way, they have a little name I'm going to tell you about right now, and this is going to blow your mind, dear friends. The Masons worship John under a nickname. A nickname. Jack. Jack. And so a Masonically inclined writer wrote of Jack and the Beanstalk. Oh, there's Masonic and Satanic implications of that story. Jack and the Beanstalk. Then there's Jack that has to do with money. Jack is known as money. Hey, I need some Jack, man. You see that in the ghetto in some of the areas. Jack. Oh, yeah. Jack is money. Of course, Satan is the god of money. Jesus said, you must choose between God and mammon, God and money. Satan is mammon. He's the god of money. He's the fish god, Jack. Jack is also used in sexual discourse, sexual language. I won't talk about that anymore. By the way, a man very, very knowledgeable of Masonic things committed all of the horrific slayings in England over a century ago. The man known as Jack the Ripper. Now, it was never found out his real name. Why did they call him Jack the Ripper? Because Jack is another name for Satan, and another name for Saint John, and another name for the beast who rises up out of the sea, the fish god Yannis. You'll remember that the ancient peoples of Philistines worshipped Dagon, the great fish god, who rose up out of the sea. And the Pope of Rome today wears the great mitre or head gear or hat, you might say, the coned hat, which is the very head of the fish god. You don't believe it? Get some pictures of the Pope and you'll see the one that's the fish head hat. He becomes, in his ritual ceremonies and saying the mass and so forth, when he wears that hat of Dagon, the fish god, of Yannis, of John, of Jack. By the way, an interesting little thing about Jews and the connection with Masonry too is that Jack the Ripper, the reason they were looking for a Freemason as the one who committed the crimes was because he would take the blood of his victims and draw Masonic symbols on the walls, in the alleyways where he slayed the prostitutes, the women that he killed. Masonic symbols. But he also left a very cryptic message at one of the slaying sites. He wrote this phrase, the Jews will not be blamed for nothing. Really? The Jews will not be blamed for nothing. You know, it reminds me of the Christians today. Doesn't matter if the Jews take our media and turn it into septic cesspools in America. They own the media. It doesn't matter if the Jews of Israel slaughter and kill and maim and torture the Palestinians. No! the Jews will not be blamed for nothing. Well, excuse my language. I know it's supposed to be anything, but evidently Jack the Ripper didn't know that. And that was the language he used. He also cut the bodies of his victims, made Masonic symbols, and he did things of their bodies that were known to the Masons and of their entrails. Jack the Ripper. Jack is Satan. He was Satan the Ripper. But he was inspired by Freemasonry. And I think that's quite an interesting thing. Well, let's go on a little bit deeper here and looking at Freemasonry. Oh, let's see what we can find out. Red, the color red. You know, in Houston, Texas, I had on my website during the last presidential campaign a photo showing that at the Houston, Texas campaign offices of Barack Obama, the senator running for president, who now is our president, they had a huge flag, or not a flag, I guess. It was a great big banner. It was as big as a huge wall. Their campaign headquarters was so large in Houston, which is one of America's largest cities, that it filled up a gigantic part of a wall, and it was a picture of the communist leader, Che, or K, whichever pronunciation of Spanish you want to use, Che Guevara. The Cuban revolutionary who died, I think we're down in Colombia or somewhere down in South America, fighting a revolution, trying to establish communism, after he had helped Fidel Castro establish communism. And he has become a romantic hero to the Obamas of the world. And there they were, all of these Obama campaign people working under the great banner of Che Guevara and his red star. They had a giant red star emblazoned on the banner. Red star. What does it all mean? Well, Rothschild has his red shield, or red star. And it's interesting that the color red, according to Mackey's Revised Encyclopedia of Masonry, it says here on page 840, red, scarlet, or crimson is the appropriate color of the Royal Arch Degree. Oh, yes, the Royal Arch Degree. And is said symbolically to represent the ardor, that's A-R-D-O-R, and zeal, which should actuate all who are in possession of that sublime potion of Freemasonry. And it says that the color red also refers to fire, which was the symbol of the regeneration and purification of souls. Red or scarlet. It's interesting. The Bible talks about the great red dragon. Here, red is known as this wonderful symbolic color of the Masons. And the red star is, in fact, a Masonic symbol. And the red star was adopted by Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin, all of whom were Freemasons and Jews to boot. And thus we have the great circle of evil, Judaism, Freemasonry. As one rabbi said, Rabbi Stephen Wise, back during the days of FDR, when asked about Freemasonry, he says, Judaism is Freemasonry. What a revelation. This is Tex Mars. It's been my pleasure to reveal these secrets to you today. We've looked at some of the unheralded secrets of Freemasonry and of Judaism. And my prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.